When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Why take one vacation with the family when you could take all of them? With Royal Caribbean, you don't just go to the beach. You visit a private island and race down the tallest water slide in North America. You don't just go for a road trip. You ATV and zip line through the jungle. You don't just go somewhere new. You rappel down waterfalls and discover ancient temples. Because this isn't just any vacation. This is all the vacations. Come seek the Royal Caribbean. Ships Registry, Bahamas.
A man become preeminent, he is expected to have enthusiasms. What are mine? What draws my admiration? What is that which gives me joy?
Dames.
Baseball.
All right, welcome on into another episode of the Full Hitter Podcast. This is the Champions League episode number 5 we're up to right now. My co-host, Randy Haynes. We have a special guest. We'll bring him on very shortly. But Randy, episode 5, we're rolling along. Every week we do another fab, and every week we're setting lineups, and, you know, we're starting to chip away a little bit every week into the overall picture.
Yeah, man, we're in the groove. It was nice to put Duran back in the lineup this week, and hopefully get to do the same as Sold next week. Seems like we're going to be able to. So, starting to get some guys back. We're losing guys too, but, you know, just lost Trey Turner 5 minutes before we started.
To the IL, right?
Yeah.
And we were just discussing that. Maybe Stock goes to short. Maybe Whip plays a little second. There'll be a nice little dual eligibility thing for Stock to get and carry into next season. I mean, that'd be
ideal. Yeah.
These are the selfish things we think of, you know.
And we'd want to see Merrifield over Sosa anyway. I mean, he'd be probably more streamable for fantasy.
Yeah.
Of course, I haven't looked at him because he's been playing so sparingly, but I feel like he's not even hitting the ball that well. So maybe it might be better off for Sosa.
Yeah. Yeah. No. It's gonna be interesting. Full. And so much can happen from now until when we do our fab or when we set our lineup. That's what the craziest thing is in this game. Baseball moves so fast. The information changes so quickly, and we're very rash to make quick decisions. Our special guest today is Mr. Andrew Sullivan. Met Sully down in Vegas this year. He's been a vet in the NFBC game. Doing pretty well so far in the overall contest, and I would like to invite him onto the show right now. What's up, Andrew?
Hey, Ron. Hey, Randy. Thank you. Thanks for having me. This is cool.
Yeah, man. Good to have you. So tell us a little bit about your NFBC history. Like, when did you get into the fold? You know, how did you find out about it, and how long you've been playing with it?
I think I got into it. I want to say like 2018 or 19. I don't remember exactly. But I really only played in my home league, which is just like a keeper league, head-to-head Yahoo that we started like back in college, with just, you know, some of my buddies and stuff. And, you know, I love the league, but the problem with the keeper league is like, you know, all these guys that you never can get your hands on because nobody wants to trade you. Nobody wants to let some guys go and stuff like that. So it was like every year we rolled over the league, but all the best players were just like stuck on the same rosters. And you know, with like football, I played a lot of leagues and stuff like that, but that was really my only baseball league for years. So I started kind of, you know, looking around, like I almost joined like an Avenue league. I started looking around at like some alternatives, and I actually found, this was when Vlad Sedler was working at Fantasy Guru. But he was writing about the NFBC, and particularly the draft champions style. So I just kind of was like, oh, maybe I'll look into this. And that's kind of how I got started. I started doing draft champions, a couple satellite leagues, things like that, in like 2018 or 19. And then eventually it was like, I kept hearing all the talk about like the main event. Everyone's always talking about the main event and stuff like that. And I tried my hand at a couple of qualifiers. But I am an impatient guy. You might even notice sometimes in the Discord, like I can get impatient with players pretty quickly. Like it's a flaw obviously, but I'm an impatient guy. And so I was like, I can't just keep doing this qualifier stuff. So I just said, F it. And I started cutting the check on my own. And it's like, I'm just diving headfirst into this. And that was my first year. It was going to be 2020. And then obviously COVID happened and the whole like thing got scrapped. So I started, my first main event in 2021 and I got my ass handed to me bad.
As many people do their first time.
Yeah. You know, it's a lesson that a lot of people have learned that, you know, you hear people talk about it all the time, but, I definitely learned from it. So here I am, you know, I won a main event last year, which was nice. And that's what got me out to Vegas for the first time. So it's like each year it's like, oh, you know, I'm checking off a new experience in the NFBC, which has been fun. So
that's awesome. I think you make a great point too about the Keeper League aspect. I love my Keeper League and everything that it entails, but yeah, like you said, just this player pool that's always, you know, and that's all you get to work with. And then now you get it, you know, now you go into a draft where you can get out of that. And then even into like the auction league that you did in Vegas, you know. So Now you go from a home keeper league where people are loving their own guys to now you can say a price for anyone that you fucking want and get them. So the opposite of that completely. So
yeah, my first ever auction league for baseball, in fact.
That's impressive. I give you so much props for that because so many people are afraid to even get into like an online auction on the NFBC or any kind of auction league if they haven't even played one on any format or even if it's live with your friends and stuff. Like, I don't know about auction. It seems intimidating to some. And then you just stepped right into the fold, right? Live in Vegas, you know, $1,500 auction. Cool, man. That's great. I love it. And I love how you said, you know, like you were just impatient and you just like, fuck it. Like, I don't want to wait for these qualifiers to pan out because I think if you can financially do it, I think it makes sense because there's just something about it, I think, in your brain that just makes you pour a little bit more into it to get into it, you know, to like do well in that league. So that's sweet. So, so you heard about the Champions League, obviously through the Discord and other stuff. And so what was your first reaction to it? And you know, how quickly are you to say, ah, yeah, this is something I need to do.
I wasn't going to do it. I don't really play OCs. I dabbled a little bit a few years ago, but, you know, I'm not one that normally like gets too caught up in like the rakes and the payouts and stuff like that. But the OC, I know I've heard like Jeff Zimmerman talk about it. It's like the bang for your buck just wasn't really there unless you're really like competing for the overall in the OC. So like I wasn't really familiar with the 12s. And so when the OC was part of it, you know, I remember hearing like that big pod you did with, Phil and Toby, and I think Steve Weinman might have been on it, where you guys were kind of, where Toby was kind of going through, like, you know, how the Champions League was coming about and, like, whether, you know, to do an auction league, a 50-team auction as part of it instead of, you know, an OC. And it made sense why they opted for the OC, but that was kind of what was, like, I was like, ah, maybe, you know, maybe I'll just sit this one out for a year, you know, see how it goes, see what it looks like. But, you know, then there was all the talk on the Discord, on your Discord with the channel set up for it. And then, you know, Toby's doing these like wrestling intros out there for everyone that's, that's getting on, you know, and it was just like, man, you know, like, it's just one of those things where you succumb to the fear of missing out, you know, it's like, ah, man, this is looking like it's going to be something special. And it's like, so I just, you know, sucked it up and I was like, whatever, I'll see what happens to the OC, like, you know, And I joined. I think I was pretty late. I was like 170th to join or like something like in that kind of range. So
better late than never, right?
Yeah.
Absolutely. Sorry, and you know, I was going to say for Toby, I'm going to have to get on his ass a little bit because just because the signups are done doesn't mean, you know, he can just coast now. You know, like, come on, Toby.
You start tweeting some updates?
Give us some updates. Yeah, we can't do all the work around here. You know, come on. He's baby. Up there now,
too. He's like got a nice spot at the table right
now. Yeah,
he's climbed the ladder.
That's why he's not, that's why he's not putting it out there. Yeah.
Yep. He knew what he was doing making his contest. Just to put more shine on him. But go ahead, Randy. Sorry, I didn't interrupt you before.
Yeah, no, I don't even remember what I was going to ask. Yeah, Sully. No, that's fine. Was there anything when you were drafting the CLQ entries? Were you thinking about it at all? Or you just kind of, they were just in the league for you? I mean, I guess maybe for the OC, you were only doing it just because it was a part of the CLQ. But was there anything at all, like any extra added pressure? We've heard some guests have said there was a lot, and then others were like, nah, it's just kind of another draft.
For the most part, it was just another draft. Like I kind of adhere very closely to the process and everything that's laid out in the book there about, like, you know, using the projections and stuff like that. And so, but nothing much changed on that front. Like, I put together my SGP sheet and, you know, just roll from there. I would say I was a little more, I'm usually not one that uses a lot of the clock in a slow draft, for example, but, I probably did take a little bit extra time during the DC make sure I was, exploring all the avenues, so to speak, and just making sure that I was a little bit more, what's the word? Like,
just really being more thorough with your picks.
That was,
if next year I might make mine an express for that reason.
I thought about doing that because generally I'm not I use the slow drafts, the DC slow drafts is like a big part of the prep.
Yeah.
Player pool, kind of getting a feel for, what the draft market's like and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. But, I found that, like, you can lose focus pretty easily on slow drafts, even the 2-hour one. Like, you make a pick and then sometimes you might only make one pick a day or something like that. And you don't have that same kind of gamesmanship where you're really like,
And there's almost sometimes there's no flow,
Yeah, some just, exactly.
They're all slow, but some are just way slower than others, and it's hard to keep that feel.
And it's like, a weekend comes around, you start doing stuff, and then it's like, my pick's on the clock. I'm not really looking at what did everybody else do in the round ahead of time. It's like, I need, the shortstop I was looking at is still at the top of my queue. Okay, I'll take him. That happens to me sometimes. And so I thought with this, I kind of like the fast draft, the pressure, feeling the flow of the draft and stuff like that. But I couldn't make it work. There, none of the days that I had the express drafts were working out for my schedule wise. And so I might do an express next year too.
Yeah, it's, if you're doing a bunch of DCs, going in, there's a chance one of them's going to flop. At least, it's just the nature of the beast with them. But that, with the way this contest is, that can't be the one that flops, It adds that extra.
I still got that extra
bit of pressure.
I still got Trevor Story as a shortstop in one of my DCs. That tells you how that's going so far.
He's your shortstop of choice for the week.
Because I have Tommy is one of the ones I drafted earlier. It's got Story. I think it might have been a Mike the Mouth one, in fact. Where I've got Story and Edmund, and I had the guy John Birdie, who just came off the aisle. So I had no one to roll out of shortstop.
Hey, Edmund's supposed to be back soon. Well, I mean, supposedly he's going to be back soonish this time. I feel we've heard that already with him.
Yeah. Talk to me about some player shares, Andrew. Who do you have? Do you have anyone spread out across all three? You have a bunch of guys on two.
I have a bunch of guys on two.
No threes at all?
I think for a little while I had Hoffman on all three, but I recently dropped Hoffman and definitely my OC or possibly my main. I have to double check on the main, but I didn't come out of the draft with anybody on all three. And a lot of it is my DC and main, and I'm sure there's a big part, even though he's not going super, nuclear yet. My DC and my main were both one picks. So, one pick in a 15 team, you're going to end up having a lot of overlap.
That's interesting.
Yeah.
I gotta. That's something, Randy. Write this one down. We gotta.
Okay.
Someone's gotta get that data. Like how many?
The draft slots for the final table.
The draft slots for like everybody.
For everybody. Ezekiel
and all. I would just love to see like who, you know, I'm sure Gecko would want to know too, because he's obsessed with the randomizer not being random. That actually is random. Because if you do get 7, 9, 9, 9, 9, 9, 9, and 14, that is actually pretty fucking random. Mm-hmm. But sorry, Angel, I think that just popped in my mind real quick. It's interesting that you got first pick on both. And was that DC like early where it was like clear before he got hurt?
Yeah. So it was late February when I did.
Okay.
That.
Yep.
So that was. I think I might have. It might have like because it was a 2-hour slow. It might have been going on when the news like was that he was going to see the special doctor out in California or whatever it was. I think I was still in the midst of that draft. But I think when I made the pick, he hadn't been injured yet.
Interesting. That's what I love. See, like if we see surges in standings, you know, and Acuna starts going nuts and we see all these teams rising, it's probably going to be very obvious that it just might be carried by one person.
Finally hit one out last night.
Yeah, I was a little nervous because, I wasn't able to watch any baseball last night, and I was seeing some Discord messages, and people were like, oh, Acuna just limped off the field, and I was like, oh, God, no. And then, like, 2 hours later, it's like, oh, he just hit a home run.
I love the Discord for stuff like that, but every once in a while it's like, so all right, guys limp. Like let's not give everybody a heart attack, especially when it's Acuna. Yeah. But guys. I get it. I mean that's the guy we're I get it. That's the guy we gotta keep our eye on. The guy's in the first round. But you know. Yeah. Limp. Dude's limp, you know.
So who else besides Acuna do you got on two?
The DC the main, I have Acuna, Taylor Ward. And Jimmy Mack, James MacArthur on both those teams. Oh, I have a lot of James MacArthur. I was taking the discount on that all DC season.
That's great. Good for you.
Fingers crossed that it keeps up. He's going well right now.
100%. Yeah.
And then in the OC, I have Machado, Glaber. OC and Maine. Sorry, excuse me. The OC and the Maine. I have Machado, Glaber. And then Willy Adames, who's my most owned player in like across everything over the whole season.
Good week to have that.
Yeah.
Three bombs, two steals already this week, I think.
Yeah.
I feel like Adames was one of the more mispriced players all off season, and there was a lot of times where every DC I'm like, I'm just gonna wait for Adames or Tovar, like in that range. End story. Like those three guys in that range was such an easy smash. But the thing is, in some drafts where you're like, I'll just wait for them, and then sometimes they get pushed up and like they all go and you're like, oh, and that's where, like, what made me have so much Zach Neto.
Zach Neto season.
yeah. And then even if I got one of those guys, it was still Zach Neto at MI. But no, I love that Adames, you know, that tier, that range, you know, where he was going was such an easy grab. For me, at least. Nice. That's a good scoop. So you are paying attention a little bit to, I guess, you know, players that you might be fabbing, and if they are on your DC team, like especially maybe some of the lower guys. Do you have any like prospects that are on your watch list? Like, hey, this guy's on my CLQ. I can get some double bang right here if I scoop him up.
Yeah. Not too many. But I do have a couple of Tigers. I have Jackson Jobe on the DC. We'll see. I know that he might be a little banged up right now, I think. But we'll see if he comes up. He's probably going to be expensive. You know, he's no secret. Like, if he comes up, everybody's, you know, we'll see. We'll see what Christian Scott goes for tomorrow night. But, you know, how many people, you know, what kind of money people blow on Christian Scott will probably give a good idea of what somebody like Jobe, because I don't think Jobe is super owned everywhere like Skeens is. Like, everyone's holding on to Skeens just waiting for him. Like, he's not available in any maybe some OCs, but and then I have and this one I don't know. This one I took in round 50, and Justin Henry Molloy. We'll see if he comes up, help the Tigers offense. But I don't have too many prospects. Like, I got Turnbull in round 40 of my DC. And then beautiful. I did immediately fab him at the beginning of the year on both the main and the OC.
Why take one vacation with the family when you could take all of them? With Royal Caribbean, you don't just go to the beach. You visit a private island and race down the tallest water slide in North America. You don't just go for a road trip. You ATV and zip line through the jungle. You don't just go somewhere new. You rappel down waterfalls and discover ancient temples. Because this isn't just any vacation. This is all the vacations. Come seek the Royal Caribbean. Ships Registry, Bahamas.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Are you guys are holding you normally, him? I know it's a different topic, but I know you've got some Turnbull too. Are you holding him?
Yeah,
I'm holding him for now.
Sunday. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And guess who I cut in the main to get Turnbull in that first week?
Ooh, was this the
Colton Cowser move?
This was Colton Cowser, yeah. right before he went nutso that week. I cut Cowser to pick up Turnbull. So
you drafted him. You drafted Cowser?
I had drafted him. I was actually talking to Randy on Discord during my main event draft. And I picked his brain a little bit on Cowser. This was mid-March, so it was before he had made the team officially. And so I took a shot on Cowser very late in that main event draft. But that first week he wasn't playing much and always chasing pitching in these leagues. So I made that it hasn't been bad on the Turnbull side, but it's tough to see Cowser go off right after you drop him.
Yeah, it's not like you dropped him for I don't know who sucks ass right now. Like,
a lot of people.
I mean
Oliver Dunn.
Yeah.
You could have picked up Oliver Dunn.
Even though he was drafted in every league, like a Louis Varland, where it's like he ruined your ratios and now he's back in AAA. Like,
Louis V, 77 pitches last night, 7 innings, 8 Ks in AAA.
Is that right?
Yeah, had a fucking a near Maddox in AAA.
Did you see your boy McDermott was part of a no-hitter
last
night?
Did I see my boy? Come on.
I have McDermott on the DC.
I'm fucking rooting for all the Oriole pitchers to get hurt to get McDermott up there. My DC just screaming like, I don't want to use Paul Blackburn anymore. Give me Chase McDermott or Povich, either one of them. I have more McDermott than Povich because Povich was gone earlier, but
yeah,
enough of both. So in your DC, Sully, do you like to, are you normally kind of staying away from prospects or because I know everyone does their DC depth differently. I always think that's an excellent topic to talk to people about, and especially if you did it any differently for this format specifically, but the back end stuff, are you doing closer, how do you like to do closers, I guess, up top, and does that affect how do you do the back end? Just like an overarching DC, I guess, strategy for you.
I mean, so when it comes to closers, I generally pay for them. I've found that I've had the most success in my leagues paying for closers, paying for catchers, paying for starting pitching. So I usually will devote those early round resources to those kinds of guys and then try to fill in everything else as, a draft goes on. DCs, I do spec on guys I think will be the next guy up in a lot of cases. But prospects, I don't normally go after. And I think it's something I have to adjust in a way, because I'm finding, maybe it's just the ones I'm noticing on my team, but I'm finding a lot that you think a veteran has a job or is a safe pick and it's something like a DC, and they're not anymore. I feel like teams are much, much more ready to just DFA.
We call that the Aaron Hicks.
The Aaron Hicks, yeah.
I got some Aaron Hicks. I was like, oh, they signed him. They told him he's gonna play, and it's May 2nd, and he's off the, he's unemployed. Like, yeah. Was, I think I used him for like one hitter period, one 3-day period. That was it.
Yeah.
And that was just a dead spot on my bench.
And I think that's like, yeah, I think teams are just being more aggressive with prospects and willing to promote them. Even like the, you know, the guys like Oliver Dunn's of the world where like, you know, they're not really like these highly ranked prospects or like these like real special players, but teams will bring them up.
Yeah.
Even for like short stints.
Yeah. Athletic, can play multiple spots. Like that beats a retread guy who's 33, 34 that, you know what they're, you know who they are, you know? And that's a really good point. I think that entered my brain a lot in this year's, you know, draft champion stuff. On some teams, I, you know, did a lot differently, but you know, you can definitely go the, like you said, the boring, but beautiful, like what you think is going to be PT. But at some point that PT is a lot less bankable. That's why they're going down there and a lot less projectable. So I do feel like it's really good in DCs to understand your depth chart and you're, you know, really trying to figure out who you think is going to come up. Like, you know, all these guys that are coming up now, like Páez. If I wasn't on the Páez training, I totally missed that just because of the depth. Like, I just didn't see him busting through this early, or at least this good this early, but he's looked awesome. So I took care of that in Fab Leagues. I'm like, well, fuck it, I'm getting him now. But just, you know, there's plenty of young players, like you said, that teams are calling up. And I think that was my biggest thing. And it will be biggest thing going forward, I think, is trying to project who's going to come up at the second half of the season and trying to, you know, mingle that perfectly. But, yeah, no, I do see that now. You got Doval, Kimbrel, and MacArthur. Nice three-headed monster there on your DC closing squad right there with a little Jeff Hoffman involved, too. It's nice. Mm-hmm. Nice work there. I like that. I like that. I see a little Hunter Brown. Yeah.
Man, what are we gonna do? On that team. That one hurt kind of.
Oh
bad.
Yeah, I see that.
Your late round did well though. You mentioned Turnbull. There's a Keaton Wynn here.
Yeah.
I mean,
this was the last DC I did, and so. Like I was definitely like on a few more guys than I have on some of my other. I don't even know why I do those Mike the Map ones and stuff like that. He texts me, he blows up my phone, he makes me join those drafts, and then those teams are always dog shit. But
I love those drafts though, man.
They are fun. They're really fun.
They're fun. They're quick, but they're not too quick. You know, like the express. Yeah. It's not an express, and it's not an hour. And it's just great. Like I in 2.5 days it's gonna be done.
Yeah.
And literally like I look at the weather as soon as he texts me and I'm like, if it's gonna be shitty outside for two days, I'm like, it's perfect. Rainy fucking weekend for an MTM draft, I'm in, you know? 100%. So all right, so that's cool. Yeah, it's cool to see that overarching strategy for your DCs. I think everyone does it so differently, and I think that's the beauty of them and what makes it, like, I think my favorite format. You know, there's so much to project and to try to get right and just to hit it all is really cool. So today, currently, overall, you're 27th in the Champions League. Your main event is fourth in the overall CLQ standing, but also 13th in the overall main event standing. So that is doing the legwork for you here to bring you up to this ranking. So talk a little bit about your main event here that's kicking ass so far.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, like, the main coming in was definitely the one I'm most confident in. Despite that, like, the first time I played in the contest itself, like, you know, that kind of beating I took, I feel like I've gotten a really good feel for the main and what it takes to be successful in it and stuff like that. Like the DCs and like I said, I don't really play OC, so I knew going in that those were going to be tough ones. But this was one that, like, it was, you know, sometimes you have these ones that they just work out. Like, so much of the stuff just works out the way you want it to. Like, from, you know, getting the first pick, and then I forget, so when Glasnow and Pablo came back to me, I did not think either one of them would get back to me. I was happy to get one, and they both came back in that 2-3 turn. And that's what, like, as I mentioned, that's what I like to do. I know that it's tough this year, and people are kind of reevaluating a lot of, like, whether to take early pitching and stuff like that. But it's definitely what I believe in. It's what I've found success in. I will take early pitching. I'm going to do it next year too. I know you guys got hit by Strider. I got hit by Strider on the OC. It's just, you know, it's always what I found success in.
I like that, man. I would have seen, I think that's the biggest thing too, that, I also factored into always, you know, wanting to take Strider at that 2 pick, even though I knew I should have diversified at least once from it just to have a different stock. But it was that, also that fear, like I might not get a pitcher in round 2 or 3, you know, either. And then fine, like, some people are comfortable taking 3 bats, and I probably could have swung it, but it's just not my most desired route. And so, just being able to grab Acuna and have those two guys come back at the 2-3 turn, that's cartwheel time, you know?
Yeah, and I do invest in closers. I know we haven't gotten anything out of, I think it's Sewald, Randy. I don't know if it's Sewald. I think it's Sewald, but I could be wrong. I don't know. But, you know, hopefully he's coming back. It sounds like he's coming back next week.
Yeah, they said they're going to activate him in Cincinnati. So I've been stashing him in my main. So I'm,
yeah. And then I got
a little late on starters this week, so I'm probably just going to plug him in.
Nice. Yeah.
And I got really lucky on Suarez. I did not think that Suarez was going to be as effective at closer as he's been. You know, it is one of the, it's like, you know, the, it's not much of a con, obviously. But one of the, like, cons of drafting on the turn is a lot of stuff feels like it's out of your control. And it's like, so I, even when I come in, it's like, I want to get, you know, I want to, you know, lock down my 2 closers. A lot of times, like, every time, like, I thought I had a closer lined up to take, they would get taken right before me. And so I know the old Fantasy Pros grade gave me, said I reached too far on Suarez, but so far that's working out, you know, really fortunately.
Yes, Suarez was undervalued for all of draft season, really. I mean, he jumped up there at the end once people realized he was the, you know, most likely the guy, and then some other guys in front of him got hurt. You know, Sewald, Sewald, Duran, Romano. Is it Sewald or is it Sewald? I always thought it was Sewald.
I don't know. I was mostly giving you a hard time. I say Sewald, yeah. But I have no idea if I'm actually right about that.
I thought it was Randy's hard, you know, Baltimore.
Oh, I say dialect. I say a lot of words wrong too. I just didn't think that was one of them. So
no, you don't say a lot of words wrong. I find a lot of words you say, you definitely have some kind of interesting Baltimore dialect.
Baltimore, yeah, a little Baltimore accent, right?
I wonder where I got that from.
Yeah.
Yeah, that pop.
That Suarez, hold on a second. Nice. Suarez that's went 91 in this second chance gladiator. He was like 151, you know, like 130-ish in the main. Do you guys think that's a good price for him right now if you were doing a league? Like around 91? That's up there.
It feels kind of right though.
It feels kind of right though. Yeah, I know. You're right. Yeah. It does.
I know there's the in-season gladiators are different, right? Because we have evidence of who's the closer, but there's still no replacing them, you know, in season. It's not like you can punt saves there and try to fab them.
Randy, you'd be happy to know that Cedric Mullins went 98th. Big bump up.
Don't let Tunks hear that.
Take that, Tunks.
That's the thing about it. I like Mullins, but it's just I just thought he was mispriced, and Tunks was calling him Jason Hayward. So
it's so funny. Yeah, I love the back and forth on the guys that. I think that's where it gets really funny, because like, obviously everyone knows who I like, and they're like, you know. They're expecting me to keep shitting on those players or trying to change my tune to them. So it's cool. It's cool. It's interesting, the discussions we got. So take me a little bit more into this main event team. You know, maybe mid picks. Obviously, the Taylor Ward pick was awesome. He's been really He's been really good. When did you get Jackson Merrill?
I got Merrill in the 23rd round.
Nice. Good grab.
I forget if they had already, like, if that, I don't remember how much of a spec it was at the time as far as whether he was, like, locked in to make the team yet or not. But
Yeah, because this was the March 16th draft, so you had one of the first ones on, right? I mean, yeah. This was, what, probably like the fourth or fifth draft, maybe, perhaps?
It was the first Saturday one. It was 2 p.m. Eastern, like the first Saturday of main events.
That's great. Nice Saturday afternoon main event draft.
I took a page out of your and James Anderson's book. I did a little porch draft.
I had my coffee outside.
It was good, yeah.
That's fucking awesome. See, I wonder what the correlation is to porch drafting and overall finishes. Hey, I'm going to need to see the data on this.
For me personally, the only deck draft that I've ever done, I won that league. And I know it because it was a beautiful day. It was an OC. I had nothing I was doing that day. I sat outside, drafted it, loved the team. It was good, won the league. So I think most of my drafts this year. Yeah, most of my drafts this year ended up being at night, but
it's about being in that right mindset, man. And you said that nice weather.
Let's make this trend next year.
Yeah. Deck drafting is undefeated.
Deck drafting is undefeated. So I like that though too. Like not only the deck drafting, but the earliness of the drafting. Did you want to get ahead of it and just do one early before?
Yeah, I read Phil's essay, whatever you want to call it. And
what do you call it? Because it's not an article. Is it an essay? Is it an abstract?
That's what I was leaning with was essay in the process where he talked about like the different, you know, the early versus the like mid range versus like the Vegas, you know, the people who drafted online while Vegas was going on and stuff like that. And it just kind of highlighted that, you know, there is some, you know, like there is some advantage maybe to doing one of those first mains. And I got to say, like, I was guilty of a few things this draft season. I got a target from Zach by putting his CLQ draft board for the OC in our Discord. You know, Waxman got his target on me for that. And then I was guilty of league jumping when I was going to do an even earlier main. I think I was going to do like the first or second one, like a Tuesday night, and Phil jumped in, and so I jumped out. not with my CLQ. I was like, I don't want to be fabbing against Phil Dessau in my CLQ. So, I was guilty of that there, and I did apologize to Phil. Mm-hmm. I said I'm sorry, but the CLQ is too important. I don't want to be battling you.
Well, you're just gonna get fined next year, right? That's what's gonna happen. You're gonna get fined if you jump leagues.
Yeah.
It's end of the pot in the overall pot.
I mean, you keep telling everyone that that Ranger Suarez is gonna out earn top 50 round top 50 picks and starter pitchers, and you come through with that, you know, people are gonna keep staying away from you in draft, no doubt. So how did you get into the mindset for 12s? I know you said it's not something you should get involved with, but did you pick a way in your head at least that you were going to decide like this is how I'm going to draft this OC? Like, is there a specific strategy you had?
I the first thing I did was I listened to you when on your pod with Drew and Gilt.
Yep.
There's a lot of like. But those are two great 12-team minds to really like take some lessons from, like I said before, like I use the projections and I follow the process. So it really was just like one day I just sat down. I was like, okay, I have my sheet all set up for like my mains, my DCs, things like that. So it was just like break it out and tweak the numbers to be for the 12 team. And I just kind of was like, I'm just gonna draft kind of off the sheet. And now I'm sitting here with Vlad Guerrero doing nothing, holding my team down.
Yeah.
I was enjoying Rob Silver's rant on Launch Angle yesterday. going off on Vladdy because I'm feeling that pain in the OC there.
Yeah, he was a little bit of a override for me. Like I use the SGP sheet too. I don't really always go in order of what it says. Like actually a lot of times I don't. I just think it gives me a good range, and then the guys, you know, I'll tweak up and down in just from what I like. But yeah, there were so many times where it's like, especially you're doing a slow draft too, and like I throw in the update, the draft result into the sheet, and I'm looking and I see this guy just sitting up there at the top, and I'm just like, I don't know. It's such a good value on paper, but it's like,
I don't have any Vlad either. I mean, how many? And Rob even said yesterday, like the projections still think he's like the eighth best hitter in baseball going forward. And it's just, there's got to be. I mean, I guess
it's just got to be that one year is still being pulled into it, right?
But it's out by now, right? Like it's way the least. It's way the least. Now? Yeah.
Okay. The only thing I could come up with was like if that's still weighing into it, but if it's not, then I don't have any answers.
Yeah, this is like a ridiculous thing to even bring up, but I wonder if there's a way to figure out like who have on the high end that stayed mostly relatively healthy. Who is there a player that the projections have consistently been more wrong about than Vlad? Like it's just kind of wild. Like I mean, I'm sure that there's somebody, but it's probably more like health related or job related. I mean, he's been mostly healthy. He
maybe his teammate.
He rarely sits, and like he's fine, but he never comes close to hitting his projections really, or at least it feels that way anyway.
Yeah, he's just been. Oh, one big ball of mystery. I think it must value exit velocity, obviously, a lot, you know? There's something in it that's still driving that. The contact quality, all that stuff is really good. It projects a very stable person, you know, like bat. You know, if you can hit the ball often and you're smoking it, you know, that's a great start. It's all the other stuff after that that it's just... Keep you taking advantage of him now.
And it's still only April, right?
They know. Yeah. Well, it is only April. That's the thing. 100%. It's still early. Still early. And so what did you do with closers in the OC? I know you like to, you know, you really like to pay up for them. How high did you pay up for them in OCs?
This one kind of got me a little bit. I got Bednar on round 7. And then I'm looking, in round 9, right before me, Waxman took Kimbrel. And then in round 13, right before me, Waxman took Jansen. So he got me twice, and he got me with Robert Suarez in round 19. Three times when I was probably looking at closer. It's, you know, I'm trying to go back to this draft, but when I was probably looking at closer, Waxman, you know, got me right, the pick right before. On Kimbrel, Jansen, and Suarez that I could see. I did pass up on Seawald here and Munoz to take Glaber. Oh, no, sorry. That's the other way around. I took Glaber after those two guys went. Yeah, so I was probably looking there too, and then the two picks right before me, Munoz went, then Seawald went, and so I took a hitter instead. I walked out of that draft pretty much with just Bednar and then some specs. Like I had Harvey on that team briefly. Orion Kirkering was one of my last picks in that draft. I took some shots, but I got a little lucky there because it did cost me. It cost me like $177 that I think I paid in FAB because someone had cut Kyle Finnegan. And he's been getting saves for the Nats so far. So I'm kind of taking, you know, Zimmerman talks about it a lot, like just bank the saves while you can. And so that's what I'm trying to do. I paid up for it. It did prevent me from going too hard after Joe Adell this week though. So,
no, but not
do you remember what the runner up was on your Finnegan bid roughly?
Not off the top of my head. I could probably pull it, but
That's a great scoop, though. I mean, you got to take advantage of those drops, like in OC, especially when you see some of, like, again, I love Kowser, but when Kowser goes for like 250 in an OC, and then you can get a Finnegan, a guy who's going to give you 15, 20 saves, you know, he's going to have it until he gets traded. You know, the team clearly said that too prior in the season. He was also mispriced because I think everyone knows how good Hunter Harvey is as a pitcher. You know, it's better, and they kind of willed that to be like, well, Finnegan's value just got brought down. But the guy, he just closes out games. And this is for three straight years now. Like, he's got, I think, the eighth most saves in the last 3 years combined. Like, it's fucking stud.
And he really just lost his job briefly for, like, a couple weeks last year, right? Or maybe not even fully lost it, but they were kind of maybe thinking about switching to Harvey. But then he got back hurt.
He got hurt, and Harvey took the job. And then Finnegan came back, and Harvey was holding the job for, like, a week. But then Harvey got hurt. And Finnegan got it back.
And
When Harvey came back in like September for the last month, Finnegan had been doing good, and so they just rolled with Finnegan the rest of the way. It was one of those weird things where, like, for a brief moment it looked like he had lost it, and then Harvey got hurt himself, and Finnegan got it back, and then he's held it since. I won that bid 177 to 141, and that was the
one. Nice.
That
he
picked up Cowser. That's fine.
Went for 250 in that same week.
Oh, there you go. So that, I mean, honestly, that probably takes some dollars away from that bid too. That's a nice bid though. 170, 140 is sweet.
Yeah,
that's a huge add to it, because did they have multiple closers and they didn't want Finnegan?
That's a weird drop.
You know, just again, I don't think he's
trying,
like,
to find where he was when he was cut. Oh,
unless there's somebody that got Foley on Fab or something and then just decided to go off of him. But Finnegan just gets that label of, like, everybody wants to get rid of him. Not everybody, but it seems like the majority.
He had Duvall and Diaz, Edwin Diaz, and he picked up Foley.
Oh, Jesus.
So, he had an embarrassment of Richards and he cut Finnegan.
I would have kept four. I would have rolled them out for like two weeks and then just hammer double starts or just vice versa. You could play with that. It's like having a nice multi-eligibility guy on the bench. You know,
just save the Fab and don't go crazy for Foley when you have Diaz and if you're gonna take Diaz and Duvall up top like that, that kind of defeat the purpose if you're then gonna go out and drop triple digits on Foley.
His team name has Tigers in it, so
that changes everything.
Yeah, he might be a Tiger fan. The person who did this.
That's huge. That's huge. Just I see that you're holding Max Meyer in the OC. Is that true?
Yes.
Okay. How long are you gonna give it?
I don't know. As long as I can, I think. And if I need the spot, I'm prepared to cut him. But, you know, I think I can hold him because if I just pull it up real quick.
I'm always interested to hear what people are doing with my. I don't have any of them,
I need steals in this league pretty badly. So I will have to make some moves on offense. We'll see, I have Budo on this team, how long Budo stays up. Right now it looks like they have Trumbull tabbed to make another start. And then we'll see what the deal is with this Kirby injury. If Kirby gets hurt, like, you know, those kinds of things can add up quick. And that might necessitate a cut, but if I can hold, I'm going to hold as long as I can.
It's easier to hold on the 12s. I mean,
yeah. It's just like he can be so effective, even if it is, you know, he probably won't have enough to get wins, like he won't get enough innings, but man, he can be really, really effective for whatever innings you get out of him. So I'm gonna try and hold as long as I can.
Or you can even just use this. I mean, that's kind of what I do in OCs, is I have a spot or two on my bench that this is for holding, and I might even sometimes drop a hold for a better hold that comes along on the wire. You know, like the last couple weeks I've gotten some stash old Josh Jung for cheap, got a Taj for like a buck. So it's getting to be that time of year where you can start doing that and really kind of, if you need, like, I know I have one OC already, kind of looked ahead. I'm going to need a fifth outfielder. this week. And I'm kind of just not worried about it. I'll just hold the stashes and kind of stream that fifth outfield spot from the wire for a few weeks if I have to.
Oh yeah, Sheldon, you got 12 category points in stolen bases. So
yeah, 12. I'm hurting pretty bad.
Though. Yeah. I'm just looking at that right now. So I, yeah, that's the only thing really. Like, you don't have many categories under like 100 category points, but that one sticks out. You know,
yeah, that one's hurting, but
yeah,
it's at least one that I you know. You can usually attack, I would imagine, in 12, even more so.
You can. I always go back to Andrew Geller, the Guild's recap of when he won the overall, you know, and he finally like brought it home after coming so close for multiple years, and he needed stolen bases, and he really like attacked it. And the thing he said, and it's an interesting point, it's like in 15, you know, when a guy like Jacob Young comes along. He's very desired, and it's a competitive bid because to get those guys in 15s to tack on 20, 30 steals is huge, especially if they're not horrible too. But in OCs, like and it's funny, he just lined up for him perfectly, but he had not a lot of money, so he was going down to like guys like Travis Jankowski, get into a league with Gills, though. Like, I love seeing it firsthand. I'm in an OC with him.
I played in Maine with him.
It's great.
That year where he dropped like $400 on Merriweather after he got one save.
I love his style. Yeah, I love his style. And he still doesn't regret that. That's great.
I love him for it. Like,
he was getting like the Travis Jankowski, who no one's thinking about in an OC. And when you need steals for an overall, like getting him for a dollar when he gets five or six in a week, even if he's only getting 6-7 plate appearances, like if you're good elsewhere and you could just... So, again, it could be a cheap thing that you can add. And that's something you'll have to play with in your brain. Like, do you go for a speedster and, like, pay up, or do you try to nibble it with some, you know, speech dreamers like that are really being targeted, you know, like how long can you, are your homeroids good enough that you can get Dairon Blanco for a dollar when no one's thinking about him? And even though he, one plate appearance is seven steals in some weeks, I'm like, Jesus fucking Christ. Like, that's insane.
That's the Royals' entire bench is designated pinch runners and sacrifice bunters. Blanco, Hampson, that's what they're doing.
Yeah, without a doubt, man. Without a doubt. So, all right, cool stuff, man. I think we're just going to talk about some of the standing stuff now. If you want to stick around, you're more than welcome to hang out with us as we go through it, Andrew. Or if you got something to do, you know, you can, whatever you got, if you want to hang out. Cool.
If you want, I'm happy to stick around. This is good.
Stick around. Randy, you got your Randy notes this week? What do you got for us?
Yeah, I got it.
Got some juicy stuff.
Yeah, we're still staying about that same range with the current final table. 34th in the main. Average team is 29th in the OC, 33rd in the DC. We added this week, how many of those entries are in first place? So it's 45 entries. And I didn't share this with you, so I want you to take a guess. And Sully, you can guess as well. So the 45 entries, how many are first place?
And so this is the top 15 in each.
Yeah. So the current well, not the current one when I ran this the other day, but roughly. Yeah. So like I said, okay, 45 entries.
Okay, gotcha. How many are winning their leagues?
Yes. How many of those entries? How many of the entries? Like, not, you know, some people are in first in multiple. How many entries? 45? Yeah.
8.
Higher.
I'm gonna go 20.
17.
17. All
right. Nice. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Which I for was, reason, I like in my head quickly thought like maybe it's really low. I'm gonna try low.
I didn't know. I honestly thought it was gonna be higher. I thought it was gonna be 25, 30. I kind of didn't really know what to, but then when you think about it, it's like they're not you know, you're not crushing every single entry. So once I went through and looked. And we got it. There was a few people that were, let's see, it was Waxman, Balschmeid. I'm sure I just butchered that. I apologize. And Mitsef, when I ran this, they weren't in first in any of their leagues, their entries, which I thought was kind of interesting to be at the final table and not be possibly winning any of your leagues. I hadn't really considered that as a possibility. I kind of assumed you'd have to win one, but I guess if you're like second in all three of them, you can maybe swing that.
Yeah, so we have a couple. I'll see with Zach. He's tied at the top right now. Mm-hmm. Okay. But the other guy is much higher in the overall OC, mm-hmm. but it's just not a CLQ, so it's interesting.
Yeah, so we'll see if it stays around there. I can see as we get later into the season that that number starting to creep up. But yeah, 17 out of 45, and we had, let's see, we only of all the 45 entries, we had three that were outside of the top 100 in each individual format. And again, that's, if you're in like the top 10, really, really solidified into the table, you don't have any outside the top 100. Last week we had somebody that dropped off, but they had their DC was in like 150, and the worst Gaffney, team right now.
Gaffney, right?
Yep. That's who it was. And the worst team this week was a 118 main event from Edmonds. But that's a lot higher obviously than the 150. I think you can have a 110, a 120 or something and still get to the final table. So, but that 150 is really pushing it. You got to clean up in the other two big time.
Yeah, I think they're definitely going to be interesting to see that how many people, like you mentioned, be in the top 15 and not win a league or just mm-hmm. day two, three. It definitely can happen, especially mm-hmm. if you just spread out and have good balance across the overalls too. There's probably going to be a couple entries like that. But yeah, I mean, your first thought is you would think someone's going to crush one or maybe even two.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it just never crossed my mind that there could be multiple people at the final table and not actually win their league. You'd almost like, I guess you have to sit down and do the math, but it's like, you'd get to the final table, but would you even like break even
on the $2,500 there?
Yeah. Cause I was just assuming if you make the final table, like you had and you could still have a really good year, like in your other leagues or even in those individual leagues, but
yeah, cause you could just kind of interesting. Yeah. Maybe come in third in your OC mm-hmm. and be at the final table and you would get no money on that OC.
Yeah. Like, yeah.
It's probably extremely unlikely, but it seems theoretically possible at least.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you could get second place in a DC, second place in a main. You could profit $1,500 and still get into the final table without even mm-hmm. winning the league. That's interesting stuff.
Yeah, I'm not saying I want to. The only way I want to fast forward to the end is if I'm one of the top 15. But right. I almost kind of just want to like see what the end looks like to see exactly. Even maybe we could start tracking like what the profits would be for each of those entries. So,
nice.
But
so many things to get into.
Yeah, and you have your the weekly movers who did well this week.
Weekly movers, yeah. We got some weekly movers. Joe Green was the biggest rank difference, and this is from the last time that we podcasted, which was April 24th. So I just kept that date as the start date, and then I did the rank through this morning's standings, but I know the NFPC having a little bit of problem with the live scoring standings last night, so I'm not sure if it's really through last night or if it's kind of like some version of last night. But yeah, Joe Green, different biggest mover, 69 spots up. Greg Martin, former guest of the pod, he moved up 65 spots. Hall of Famer John Posma moved up 64. And points are like Joe Green moved 544 points, Martin moved 472, Posma moved 602. I think more of the bigger movers points wise are, you know, lower down in the rank that are climbing up. So Posma went from 103 to 39. That's a nice little swing.
Yeah, people aren't going to want to see that. People aren't going to want to see Posma moving up that much in 1 week.
yeah. It's Bob Katsarumpus also moved up 56 spots. Bob was in the overall run for pretty much every single format of the NFPT last year. So yeah, he's showing off the
great player.
Yeah, 100%. He's showing off that versatility there. And Mike Masato, MTM himself, was one of the biggest movers, 51 ranks. Spot, so he went from 177 to 126, so he went from being a fucking shitty team to not so shitty team. We got Steve Weimer, also made a big jump, 47 spots from 94 to 47. Vlad Sedler was next right behind him, 42 spots in the ranks, went from 127 to 85. Matt Hurley, Mr. Moose, Meatball Mafia member, he moved up 39 spots from 96 to 59. Jenny B, Jalen Butler moved up 35 spots from 133 to 98. And more of those lower ones, the last couple ones I've run off, not that 200 to 250 to 275 range. You know, they all came from like the 130-ish range, 127 up into double digits. So, depending where you are, you know, it's going to be the biggest swing for points right now. I think is at the bottom, you can make some big leaps. If you had some big, big weeks, on the flip side, we have teams that lost 65 spots in a week, 60 spots downwards, 47, a lot of big climbers that went the other way. And that's definitely not fun. That's like, especially going from like 113 to 178 or 32 mm-hmm. to 92. It's some big, it can be a really bad week for you. If you're like, you see your name up in there and like in the running and like, oh good. You know how we always talk about that mental side of seeing your teams have bad, bad weeks. It's not, sometimes it just gets to us a little bit, you know?
Definitely.
So, then I filtered by, I did this last week. I took 1,100 points across all three formats. That gives us kind of a good, firm, like 80th percentile range for points in each three. And last week, there was exactly 15 teams, you know, that consisted, that made that threshold. And their average rank was 13.8. This week, there's only 14, so we lost one. Well, we probably lost one and gained a couple somehow. Mm-hmm. A little bit different list. I dropped out of the list. The average rank for those 14 teams is 12.4 in the overall. So those 14 teams, their overall rank 12.4 on average. We had only four teams out of the top 15. Todd Hoppe, Meatball Mafia member, he's 17th overall. Dave Chauvin, he's really good player, 19th overall. Jordan Rosenblum, ranked 21 overall. And Michael O'Brien, 51st overall. Everyone else is in the top 10, including Zach Waxman, Mark Cerebro, climbing up there. Another Hall of Famer, Steve Jupinka. And first overall, Nikolai Knutson, another Meatball Mafia member, super good dude. He's showing off like his consistent year in and year out play, up at the first spot. And yeah, so if you got 1,100 across all three, it represents a nice little balanced team, you know, kicking balanced across all three. And then I looked at the so across those 14 teams that had 1,100 more points in all three formats, I took their average stat category rank. So not how many homers they had, but just like the amount of points they were grabbing in the home run category, all the categories. And I put them up against each other in like a nice colorful scheme just to see which category and what format was holding the most. The main strikeouts was the most represented in terms of the highest category weight across all those 14 teams, 171 average points for that category. So that's strong, you know, out of the 202 out of the 201 entries, that's a big, big thing. And that's again on the main K's. The lowest category was main whip and DC home runs. Again, this is Buffett.
Whip's a little surprising.
Whip is a little surprising, especially because the ERA for those same 15, same 14 teams in the main are averaging 152 category points out of 202. So to see the 101 corresponding with that, saves is low, which we kind of expect. So then I averaged out all three formats, all the category ranks for those 14 teams, and the lowest cumulative average was saves across all three, 118 with those 14 teams, 112 in the main, 125 in OC, 118 in DC. And that's kind of something that's always been correlated with overall formats, is the saves being, you know, obviously it's just a singular category. You have a good pitcher that dominates, he takes care of four categories. they're taking only that one.
Yeah, saves is in the bottom of all three.
Yeah. Yep.
That's the only one that's in the bottom of all three. Yep.
Yep. You're right. And so, yeah. And then the highest, the best categories across all three, K's at 145 average across all three formats, ERA 144 and wins 145, ERA 144, K's 143. So pitching. We preach the pitching, and then we, you know, then we get mad at all the, and then we say those things like, oh, you know, and who knows where the guys got the pitchers, but you know, I'll start drafting pitching. It's like, you can't, you need, it's still important.
You just need to draft the good ones that don't get hurt. Like, it's not that difficult.
I heard there's a nice sweet range for it, like somewhere from 93 to 97.
Yeah.
But you know what? Newsflash, even those guys get hurt too. And then there's guys who even throw 91, Marco Gonzalez, you know, all those guys. A lot of those guys get hurt too. So who do you draft, man? Albert Suarez?
Obviously.
Shit. So one of the things I think is kind of interesting about this, I wonder if this is kind of getting an insight into you know, what these teams are doing as far as their lineups. Because, like, reading this, I would say these guys have to be rolling out 7-2, maybe even 8-1, because they're pounding wins, they're pounding strikeouts, and they're obviously, you know, having successful matchup wise. You know, ERA, whips a little hot, like their whips are a little higher. So especially in the main, you know, you're not getting, and you're kind of, you're not punting the saves, but you're obviously not emphasizing the saves there. So it's almost like, I'd be fascinated to see how this like correlates to what these guys are doing with their lineups. Cause you see that all that gleam for those three pitching categories, it seems to maybe suggest that like you're rolling out a lot of starters every week.
Sounds like you just made more work for me to figure out for next week.
I mean, that was what drew me into the contest, because it was like,
I thought that was him volunteering to like look at it every week and assist us on the show.
I think you're right. It probably is a lot of 7-2, a lot of two steps, that really don't become one steps.
Seven to two and two steps. That's like a good team name, you know. If you're doing that specific strategy.
Did you guys name your CLQ teams anything special? Like mine, I name my other teams, but my CLQ teams are just like Sully Main, Sully OC, Sully DC.
I don't name my teams. I don't know. I'm just bad at it. Yeah. When I think it's something's funny, it's probably not. So I just leave it as my name.
Really?
Yeah. No, I've never named a team on NFBC, except for
So what is it? Just Haynes?
Yeah, it's just Haynes, man.
You don't even name Darf, do you? It's just Haynes.
I put Darf there because we're supposed to, right?
Right, but it's just Haynes otherwise, right?
Yep. No, just across the board. It's all I can do to keep up with trying to get my teams in order. I can't think of a team name, so maybe I'll start outsourcing my team names.
You should outsource your team name. There's people that want to name your team. Yeah. So
there are some really funny names in the Discord. The Meatball Mafia has some really clever people.
That's what I'll do. Like instead of having a ghostwriter, I'll have ghost namers for me.
I love when I just go through the fabs and I scrape the data and I'm just looking at it. You know, it's just some of them are just amazing, you know, some of the just the funny names that people come up with. And I had to send
Cassavetes' team names to all my friends.
what was it again?
It's something highly offensive.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah.
So we won't talk about it then. Oh yeah. I see it now. Yeah. It's a vegetable and it's something very specific when you're with a partner.
Yeah. To say that.
Yeah. If anyone wants to figure it out, they can figure it out.
They look hard. Carrots and kissing? No. It's something along those lines, though. It's a vegetable and something you do with a partner. It's like number one answer on the board. It's like the Family Feud. it's so crazy. No, yeah, and then you have like Tyler Young, which is, you know, he's got the socks. It's brown socks, blue socks, Maine socks, OC socks. It's great. Just you know, I love reading through some of them. Really fucking cracks me up, you know. Ray Murphy always has men without helmets, and I just love that. I don't know why, it just stands out, makes me laugh. So all right, so that's our goal next year, is to give Randy that's what maybe I need a podcast. I need to do an episode where I get people who have the best names. I'll take a survey and then bring them on and say what goes into a good name, you know?
Yeah, there it is.
I took a little bit of from Steve Weimer, because when I first met Steve, I noticed, I said, you know, and actually he came on the pod, and I was like, man, like all the teams were episode names from The Wire, you know, and I instantly like noticed that. I'm like, oh, that's a cool little theme, you know. So this year I got a couple of So like one year I watched the show on HBO called Gomorrah, and it's in like Italian show based on the whole drug life there, and it's just awesome show. If anyone's ever never watched it, you want a good fucking great show. So I started naming them after the characters on the show, you know, and it was hysterical because I had some connection to it. This year I switched it up. I'm rewatching Boardwalk Empire on HBO in the off season. I always like go back and watch some like old shows I want to in the off season. That's my way to decompress, apparently. That's my trend.
Now, do you name the teams after like your least favorite character on the show? Like your worst team is your least favorite character from?
I should do that. Yeah, I should start changing them around. But no, I just pick the characters I like, and I pick them as team names, and because I did so many fucking draft champions, you know.
You have to do multiple shows.
yeah. Actually, I did Zach Bryan songs for my DC teams. Switched it up. So
I could do songs. Yeah, maybe do some. Maybe have to think about that. Yeah.
Pick your favorite artist.
Outsource it. Yeah, we'll outsource it.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, switch it up a little, Randy. Come on. Martin up. Cool, man. Awesome. Anything else you guys want to talk about before you head on out of here?
No, I'm good. Glad you come on, Sully.
I'm just eyeing that license plate behind you, man. It's mine.
Oh, yeah?
I'm taking this here.
It's funny how that's there.
Yeah, right?
Rob, the license plate up above Darth my Champ. Labs. I see it.
That's the often disrespected DC group of the Earth Leagues.
Yeah. I'm not even in DC, so it's probably bad that I'm on that's got it. So.
Carf did I you know, capital area didn't work too well. Carf sounds weird, but
And there's one that's already kind of similar to that too, I think.
Yeah.
Morel bomb. Let's go, baby. Yeah.
He's on my dark team, so that's another one for me. I'll take it.
Yeah, speaking of losing their mind in Discord, but scaring people in the Discord is the trainers out to see Pablo. I almost freaking jumped off the podcast right then and there.
I did not know about that at all.
Trey Turner, 6 weeks, guys, minimum.
Six weeks. Yeah. Wow. He said a couple of days, man. You can't trust these guys at all. Dr. Dave, right again. You can't trust
them. Fucking guy's a stud. Stud. Wow. Tyon is on fire again today, too. Good to see him back, man. I love
Tyon. Oh, I have Tyon and Darf, so there we're even selling.
All right. Oh, Darf. What am I gonna do in the Vegas main? Mason Wynn going and becoming my starting shortstop. That's fun. That's great. Great stuff.
Oh, you got Trey?
Yeah, in Vegas. Not my CLQ, but my Vegas main was
okay. Okay. Yeah. Oh boy.
So that's the last thing I'll say. Randy, you gotta come to Vegas next year, man.
Yes.
Yeah, that's.
I already got Tom Rodriguez coming, and I got Nico coming from Darf. Like you gotta join us out there, man. You gotta come. It was a blast. I can't recommend it enough. Vegas rocks. It was my first trip this year, and I can't wait to go back. It was a blast.
That's the endless nerdy baseball talk, and then you just learn about everybody, you know, which is really cool. Just hang out, bullshit, and. See, like, you know, people, it's just it just confirms, like, oh yeah, this guy's a good dude, or this guy is a bag of shit, you know. Yeah. And
Tunks was recruiting me. Tunks was.
And you want to get that out of your way?
Yeah.
Yeah, Tunks.
Tunks was recruiting me the other day, so that's gonna get me to not go if he keeps trying to recruit me.
He feels obligated to get everyone to go there. Oh, here's a shortstop for you available in the 17% owned in main event. Fucking none other than Jorge Mateo.
Oh wow.
He started against a righty yesterday.
Against a righty.
It's at least semi interesting. But they only have 5 games coming up this week, so.
Oof, that's right.
Yeah. A lot of five game schedules this week.
Yeah, I know. It's a good look ahead for sure. I don't like the. It's gonna be like a low. I mean, not as many streamer types. Keep it simple. Don't have to force the turnover and fucking pay up for Christian Scott. What's your all right? So let's get This is how we'll leave the podcast. What is your expectation for Max on Christian Scott? Max bids.
Ooh.
In a 15 team in the main
main event.
Ooh, what did Bradley go for last year? I mean, that was like a north of 350, right? I think he goes up there. We're gonna see. What time is that game today?
It's coming up.
Yeah, so you know, if he goes out there and he throws a stinker, that'll affect everything.
But yeah, right, so without seeing the start, I'm gonna say 337.
I think
without seeing the start,
I'll say we get some above 350. Okay. Unless he goes bad today, but if he does what we expect him to do, I think you see some 350s.
So last year we had hold on, I'm pulling it up right now.
I feel like Bradley was around this time.
Last year Bradley went for 557 max, median 267.
Oh god.
Yeah. Median winning bid of 267. I don't know.
I bet it was.
Bobby Miller. I'm just gonna give some other comps too from the big prospects that came up. Bobby Miller was max 412, median winning bid 286. Bryce Miller when he came up, max 468, median 359.
We might be too low, Randy.
We're putting out median bids, not max bids.
Bybee went 504 median 338. Even Logan Allen 301 max, median winning bid of 191. Andrew Abbott was 375 max, median winning bid of 148. So
and we're gonna have some La Perfido bids too. I mean,
we're gonna have some La Perfido. It sounds like, where are we eating? Where are we going to eat?
Side of La Perfido.
What fucking restaurant serving La Perfido? I think it lines up to Bobby Miller to me. I think it's gonna be that range. 400, 250 max, median winning bid, you know, call it a fucking day. So
now he's gonna stay up, right? He's gonna stay up. They're not
I can't guarantee
that's
you that.
That's
the
risk. I mean, like
the guys you have to swim path shouldn't be, if he's that good, it shouldn't be a competition for him to keep it over David Peterson, to keep it over Tyler McGill, to keep it over Adrian Hauser. If he's not good enough to keep the job over those guys, then he's clearly not ready. Mm-hmm. But he should be better than they.
Well, what I was gonna say is you have an intel now in the Mets front office with Gecko. Like you've got an in, so you should know.
You know, everyone who all these guys that get signed, like Max Bay, who was working with Eno, got signed by the Astros, you don't see tweets anymore. So Gecko's still not signed by the Mets. He's still tweeting.
Could have fooled me.
But I think Randy, it's honestly it's not a lock. It should be. If he's that good, it should be a lock for him to pitch. And that's the other thing. How many innings? Is he going to pitch 80 more innings this season? 90? 100? And then Matt Thompson made a great point. He's a former college reliever, you know?
Mm-hmm.
That's like building his way up. So
I can see 80-something.
Right? 80 more? I mean, 80 more?
I think you project for that, and if you get anything
over there. He's throwing like 20-something, right, so far?
Yeah.
So
yeah.
That would put him like right around 100, 110 maybe, total.
If you get anything over 80 in the majors, you just kind of, you know, you take it, but project for about 80, you know? Maybe they do a little shenanigans around the All-Star break where he goes to the minors and just kind of sits there for a week.
So for Bryce Miller, for what he, you know, for people paid up for him for yesterday, last year, he gave you 131 innings. You know, so that's of a 1.14 whip. Mm-hmm. That's one of the, like, I know people were like, oh, he wasn't as good as they thought he was going to be. For, you don't get that production off the wire very.
No.
But that, at least trying to stream it too, if you're trying to maximize it, like, you know, that's a pretty good performance. So I think that's a pretty decent.
Yeah, no one lost their league because they fat Bryce Miller. I mean, that's,
True. Good point. Good point. So, yeah, bring your wallets, folks. Back up. If you got a dump truck still available, back up the dump truck. If you're not, if your fab dollars are down to the size of a Vespa, back the Vespa up. Whatever you got, you know, to throw on Christian Scott, can be a hot one this week. All right, Andrew, again, thank you for joining us. Thank you for talking all this fun stuff about fantasy. Good luck in the rest of the rest of the way, man, and maybe we'll see you in that final seat. I'll be there somehow. If I'm not playing in it, I'm going to be recording it 100%.
I can't wait to see all like the live podcast, like breaking it down as it's happening.
Doing the
play by play. It's gonna be a blast. But thanks for having me, man. This is fun as hell. So cool. I really appreciate you extending the invite, and good luck to both of you guys the rest of the way as well. Thanks.
Appreciate that, Billy. Yeah, Randy. Too,
thanks.
Good stuff, man. Catch you guys next week. Thank you for supporting the Pull Hitter Podcast. Listen to the Champions League episode number 5. And if you're not a Meatball Mafia member, come hang out. You know, I do some good content, talk a lot of shit in the Discord. Everyone bullshitting. You get the extra launch angle stuff. Come check it out. And we'll help you grind through the season. We have a screen pillow available in the Discord. If you got no place to vent, you know, you need a place to talk. You want to go, you know, you don't want to top taking it out on your wife that Pete Alonso's in a 1-for-31 slump. You don't have to. You can go to the Discord channel. You can go to Screen Pillow and say anything you want about your team. You could even just be complaining about the umps, which is a popular one, right? Just take a picture of the strike zone. Show the ball being way out of the zone. But I believe they called it the fucking strike, you know? Whatever you need to Screen Pillow out, we're there for you. It's better than a fantasy therapist. They cost too much. This is easy. Come in, and we even have a happy blanket for you if you want to fucking do a little lapping. All right, everyone loves to lap. It's a good space to lap. You're not going to get shit on. You know, you'll get made fun of maybe a little bit and say, hey, you know, it's after six at-bats. Whoopie doo, he hit 3 homers. Whatever. There's a lot of options there. So come check it out. Thank you for listening. Don't be a bag of shit. Peace.